breaking down a historical event in the Bible or preaching on a person and the characteristics of a person. But tonight we're going to focus on a subject, a doctrine that only Baptists have right. And you say, what is that? Well, one of the things that I you're going to deal with, and a lot of, and I've, Dr. Stringer does a great job. I had never heard of the Baptist distinctives before I went to Bible college. But there are some things that the Baptists believe, and even if they don't have Baptists on the door, there's a lot of people, if you study your trail of blood, which I encourage you to do, you'll see that there, Baptists have not always gone by the name of Baptists. In the early years, there was no reason to call them by a different name. They were Christians. There was only one church, and it was a Baptist church. They believed the same thing that you and I believe. But tonight, I want to focus on what I consider one of the Baptist distinctives that a lot of people might leave out of the list of Baptist distinctives, and it's called eternal security.
Amen.
A lot of people... And normally what I do is when I talk to someone about their doctrine, about their religion, I ask them about this particular point. I ask them, do you believe you can lose your salvation? Very, very few so-called Christian denominations believe in eternal security, or what a lot of people call, say, once saved, always saved. But if Jesus saves me and I lose it, you're living your life as a yo-yo, trying to get yourself saved, and then you lose it, and you're saved, and you lose it, and you're saved. It'll wear you out just fretting over it. But I'm glad I don't have to worry about it. I'm glad it's settled because Jesus did it. I didn't do it. He's the one that saved me. How do you change the and Romans chapter 10 verse 13 is a good verse to go to in the fact that it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say might be saved. Doesn't say should be saved. It says shall be saved. And so we're going to go through some verses tonight just to kind of give us an indication. And I know I'm probably not going to teach you anything else tonight that you haven't heard before, and probably most of it from this pulpit, from this preacher. But this is a doctrine that we need to get settled, and we need to be able to talk to people about and say, hey, you can't, if you really got saved, you can't lose it. And we're going to go through some passages. So let's stand in honor of the Word of God. Here in John chapter 10, I want to focus a little bit on some things that Jesus said here. And we'll move around a little bit and got some other verses we're going to cover. But even, and I know a lot of people, they'll say, well, what about when we fall, the Bible talks about falling from grace. It's not talking about your salvation. It's talking about your relationship. But here, look at what it says. And if you have trouble with this, I don't know what to tell you. But this is pretty plain what Jesus says here. Look at start with verse 26. And it says, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. When do you perish? Jesus' sheep can't perish? You mean they can't go to hell? Hold your place there and look up at verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Then Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me. Now the bad versions will say gave them to me. I want you to understand, when Jesus got me, he didn't get much. When Jesus got you, he didn't get much. But when we got him, we got everything. They're saying that I'm a blessing to Jesus. I'm saying that he's a blessing to me. When they put that word two in there, it changes the whole complex, or the whole verse, the whole context of the verse. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, we're just going to spend some time on getting this doctrine settled in our hearts so that we can share it with other people, and it helps us understand the Word of God and what you do for us when we get saved. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that I can't go to hell. What a blessing it is to know that I'm saved forever. Not because I'm good, but because I'm yours. And Lord, I just pray for you just to teach us tonight from the Word of God. Lord, let the Holy Spirit be in control of everything said and done. Lord, we're preaching out of your book. We're going to use a lot of verses. And Lord, we just want you to settle this in our hearts. For it's in the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Here in this particular passage, and this is one of the things I like to tell people, and I make sure that people understand, it's one of the clearest concepts, I think, of eternal security in my mind, is the fact that Jesus, two different places in chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14, Jesus clearly says, I am the good shepherd. Now, there were, if you go through the Bible, there were a lot of good shepherds, a lot of shepherds in the Bible. Abel was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. A lot of shepherds in the Bible. Abraham had sheep. A lot of those guys in the Old Testament were shepherds. What about the shepherds there that the angels appeared to? But I guarantee you one thing. As hard as they tried, they probably lost a sheep every once in a while. They were, might have been what we would call a pretty good shepherd. But my Jesus is the ultimate good shepherd because he won't lose a sheep. If you got saved and you become one of Jesus' sheep, by the way, that's the way it works. If you're not saved, you're not a sheep, you're a goat. Go to Matthew chapter 25 if you don't believe me. But the truth is, when you get saved, when I got saved, we become Jesus' sheep. And when we become his sheep, he will not lose his sheep.
That's right.
Amen. When I got saved, there's something else happened. I became his child. Now I've got children. Some of you got children. Guess what? The children don't always please you. Okay? Heaven knows I did not always please my parents. But one thing they could count on, I was still their child.
Right.
At what point does a child stop being the child of a parent? Even after they die, they're still the child of that parent. God will not let one of his children go to hell. Okay, we're going to settle that. We've got a lot of verses we're going to go through in the next few minutes. But I want to focus on this thing of eternal security because so many people mess it up. Okay, can you lose it? If you had to do something to get it, You can lose it because you never had it.
That's right.
If you had to get baptized to get saved, you never got saved. If you had to join a church to get saved, you never got saved. All these things that you have to do, I hear people sometimes they have to go through some classes to join the church to get, and then they won't even baptize them until they go through the classes. I understand the principle, but it's not biblical. Okay? But I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but what I want us to focus on is the fact that we as a church need to make sure that we settle this. Go to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to use some of these things about Paul. Here's some of the writings of Paul. And this is a short verse. You ought to be able to remember this one. Verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Not might be gain. You ought to circle that little word is. Bill Clinton might not know what it means, but I know what it means. Amen?
Amen.
It's a guarantee. It means that when Paul, the Apostle Paul, knew that even though he said in Romans, he said, those things that I don't want to do, those are the things I do. And the things that I don't want to do, that's what I do. He couldn't keep himself from doing some of the bad things. And he couldn't make himself do some of the good things. We all have that problem sometimes, don't we? We all struggle with it. And that's the flesh. That's the flesh fighting us. But the truth is, Paul knew that he was guaranteed to go to heaven. For me to live is Christ. Now, he was determined that his life was going to reflect Jesus. Okay, that's what that first part of the verse means. He says, for me to live is Christ. I'm going to do whatever Jesus wants me to do. I'm going to be a blessing wherever I can to the Lord, wherever I go. And that's what he, and by the way, think about how much of a blessing he's been to us and all the people through history that have had the Word of God. Devil doesn't want me teaching this, but I'm going to teach through the cough and teach through the allergies and all. Because he's not going to stop me. But Paul said, hey, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's a guarantee. He knew he was going to heaven. He had no doubt. Even though he had a wicked beginning of his life, when he got saved, he changed 100%. Turn over to 1 John 5. This is a verse that a lot of people have trouble with. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 11 through 13. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You're not going to get eternal life any other way. It comes through Jesus. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. You got Jesus, you got eternal life. If you don't have eternal life, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life. You say the Muslims don't have eternal life? No, they don't. Not unless they've got Jesus. Do the Jews have eternal life? No, not unless they have Jesus. It's not my message, it's God's message.
Amen.
They've got to know the truth. Look at verse 13 that says, this is a verse you need to run to people and tell them. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
When you get saved, it's not a hope-so salvation. When you really get saved, it's a no-so. We were talking to this bus driver in Kansas City, and she was talking to a lady, older lady, and she said, asked the lady about her salvation, and this bus driver that I led to Christ, I remember exactly where we were. We were in our first building and in the little cubby room with her and her husband and her son. And she said, I got up there and the lady asked me about my soul. And she said, I stomped my foot real hard. And she said, if I died right now, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Well, I tell you what, that's what we all need.
Right.
To have a no-so salvation. That's what this verse says. It says, he that hath the Son, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's a no-so salvation.
Amen.
Let's go to someplace else. Let's go to the Old Testament, Psalm 37. You say eternal security is in the Old Testament too? It is. I preached a message one time. It's actually a two-part Sunday morning, Sunday night message on God's preserves. I haven't done it here yet, but I might before too long. But God's preserves is Sunday morning. I preached on God preserves His Word. And Sunday night, I preached on God preserves His saints. Hey, my God can do those kind of things, you know. Some of these other gods, they can't do anything. But look at what it says in verse 28. It says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of life and seed of the wicked shall be cut off. How long are the saints preserved?
Forever.
And if forever ends, it's not forever. I hate my nose right now.
But you wouldn't
want to do that. In fact, I tell you, one of the things I was thinking of, and this is totally off the message, but one of the things I was thinking of is, Lord, why did you put the nose right above the mouth? And then I got to thinking, that makes sure we can smell something that's bad before we put it in our mouth. He's got it all figured out, you know. We just have to think the way He thinks. But anyway, but this verse here, verse 28, it says the Lord does not forsake His saints, and it says they are preserved forever. When you become Jesus' child, when you become a saint of God, and the Catholic Church doesn't know what a saint really is, okay? But praise God, I do.
Amen.
Praise God, when you became you got saved, you became a saint.
Amen.
I don't, you know, it kind of sounds strange for me to hear Saint Brian, but or St. Paul. There is a St. Paul, but the truth is, hey, it's different. We don't think of ourselves that way, but that's what God sees. He sees us as saints when we get saved. The young man yesterday that got saved, he might not realize it, but he became a saint.
Yeah.
And how long does God preserve His saints? Forever. What if they never come to church, preacher? They're going to be a disobedient saint, but they're a saint nonetheless. I hope and pray, and this is something I've always struggled with. When you have somebody and you lead them to Christ and they never come to church, and the next time you go to try to find them, you can't find them, the FBI can't find them, and you say, well, did they really get saved? That's between them and Jesus. But I want you to understand, when you share Christ with somebody, even if they don't get saved, you get credit as in heaven as if they did, because you did your job. Now, praise God, I hope that all of them that we've seen pray and supposedly receive Christ got saved. But we did our job. So let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to go back to the Old Testament here in a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 1, there's a song that we sing in our hymnal after this verse. Chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look at what it says in verse 12. It says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Amen. What's Paul saying? He said, "I've committed my soul to Jesus, and I'm persuaded." Paul was convinced that he couldn't lose it, because Jesus is able to save. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God through him. But this verse here clearly says that not only is Paul wasn't ashamed, and he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able. Who's keeping you saved? Better be Jesus. He's the only one that can. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I love this verse. I run to it quite often. In fact, this first few verses here in 1 Peter chapter 1 are great verses. Look at verse, let's start with verse 3, and I'll read a few verses here. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again." You know what? You got begotten the first time when you were born. Begotten us again means you got saved. It says, "hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Here's what you've got to look forward to in verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Amen. I want you to think about this for a minute. That mansion in heaven, you won't have to repaint it.
Right.
You won't have to put a new roof on it. The plumbing will never wear out, if there is plumbing. I'm not sure how that works, but I don't know whether there's a kitchen in there or not, but you won't have to replace any of the appliances, amen? Nothing's going to wear out. It's not going to fade away. It's eternal. And what's Jesus say? It's reserved in heaven for you. I'm ready to go.
Amen.
I see this crazy world going the wrong way fast, and my inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me, sounds better all the time.
Amen.
But look at verse 5. This is where I wanted to go. It says, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." How are you kept? If you're saved, you're kept by the power of God. You can't keep yourself saved no more than you can get yourself saved. You can't earn salvation. I can't earn salvation. Nobody can earn salvation. The only way we can get salvation is by coming to Jesus. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then, when you are saved, By the way, we see a lot of people that say they're saved and don't live like it. They give the rest of us a bad name. I hear about preachers that aren't living right, that mess their testimony up. One of the things that bothers me is the fact they give us, make it harder on us, those of us that are trying to do it right.
That's right.
But the Lord's going to sort all that out one day.
That's right.
He'll take care of it. But guess what? When you got saved, you don't have to keep it. Oh, I got to keep myself saved. I got saved 6 times and I lost it yesterday. Good grief. Give me a break. If you got saved and you lost it, you didn't get saved right. You didn't trust Jesus. You were trusting something or somebody else. My Jesus won't lose any of his saints. Now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 28. I've enjoyed the study in 1 and 2 Samuel. We're just about to the end of 2 Samuel. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 28, there's an event takes place. If you study, most of you have been in my Sunday school class, and you know that Saul is by no means, he started out good. But once David killed Goliath, all of a sudden, well, and when he rejected in chapter 15, he rejected the and did not kill the Amalekite or the Amalekites, and did not kill the king, and he disobeyed God, and God told him, because you've rejected my word, I've rejected you from being king. And that was after chapter 15. Then chapter 16, you see when David is anointed as king. From that point on, Saul has a problem with David. And especially when David kills Goliath. So what does Saul do? Eventually he becomes so jealous of David that he tries to kill him. And he becomes so vicious towards David that he can't think of anything else. And the Lord has rejected him, won't even talk to him. And so here in chapter 28, Saul, he sees the fact that they've got a battle against the Philistines coming. And he goes and he disguises himself as if he's just some other person. And he goes to the witch of Endor. And this witch, by the way, this is the way this works. This witch calls up what they call a familiar spirit. Now, what a familiar spirit is somebody, if you wanted to talk to Grandma and ask her about her apple pie recipe, and she died 20 years ago, whatever, you would tell them, okay, Grandma is such and such, and the familiar spirit would come up looking similar to your grandma. And you have to give them some information, so they give the information to the spirit, and the spirit's listening, so he comes up, and he does appear. So Saul goes to this particular witch. And this witch is actually calling up a familiar spirit, but God jumps in. He messes up the whole plan. Can you imagine that? And instead of this familiar spirit coming up, God sends Samuel in person. You study it out. Look at what it says. Let's start with verse... Look at verse 15. It says, "And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me." Well, whose fault is it, dummy? Amen. I'll interject that a little bit. But and God is departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Now I'm not going to go into a whole lot here, but it's the Samuel actually tells Saul, Samuel has died a while back, and Samuel is telling Saul, he said, well, guess what? It's your fault. God rejected you because you disobeyed. And look at what it says in verse 18 and 20. It says, 18 and 19. It says, because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, this the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou shalt, thou and thy sons, be with me. Shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of the of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Hold on just a second. Now I want you to know what's taking place. Saul, if anybody could lose their salvation, it would have been this guy. But Saul actually got saved. And because he got saved, even though he ran just as far in the with the devil's crowd as he could, he got saved, and he's going to be with who? He's going to be with Samuel. Samuel was a good prophet. Samuel had a great testimony. And what I want you to get is the fact that Saul did not lose his salvation. We could go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and realize the testimony of Lot in Sodom, and how he messed up his testimony, ruined and destroyed his family. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, we read where Lot had a righteous soul. I want you to understand, this thing about eternal security is not a doctrine that we take lightly. Because what you're saying is, God, I know you saved me, but I'm not sure you can keep me. Good grief. Hey, I'm glad my God saved me forever. How long does he preserve his saints? Forever. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You go to John chapter 6 verse 37, which we didn't go to, and Jesus says, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Is there any exception in that statement? No. Does it say, do I appear angry over this? Maybe. I get upset because this is something that's pretty basic for Baptists. By the way, the one lady that I was talking to tonight, she said she was talking to a lady in her 80s, and she was raised in the Baptist church, and nobody had ever asked her about her soul. She wasn't even sure she was saved. I want you to know, those type of churches exist.
That's right.
Why? Why would they exist? What purpose do they have? Make people feel good in their sin so that they can split hell wide open? The truth is, we as Christians need to get this settled in our heart.
That's right.
This is all through the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. How did the saints get saved in Hebrews chapter 11? By faith. How did Abraham get saved, or Moses get saved, or Enoch get saved? By faith. How do you get saved? How do I get saved? How does anybody get saved? By faith in Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't earn it. I can't earn it. No one can earn it. But the truth is, it's a free gift. All you got to do is trust Jesus and come to Him and ask for it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's pretty simple. When I get to in the plan of salvation, when I get to Romans chapter 10, verse 13, I have the person explain it to me. Whosoever means what? Anybody. How hard is it to get saved? According to that verse, call upon the name of the Lord. What's the Lord promised to do? Shall be saved. I don't want anybody in this church to have to question their salvation. If you're not completely sure that you're saved, now'd be the time to get it settled. If you are, number one, act like it. Number two, well, let me back up. Because I'm saved, because I know I'm where I'm going to spend eternity, I can focus on other people and try to get them saved. If I have to wonder if I'm saved and I have to concern myself about losing it, guess what? I'm going to worry myself sick over whether or not I'm saved and trying to keep myself saved. I can't worry about anybody else. But praise God, I got it settled. The book tells me, guarantees me, that I'm going to heaven. My last breath here is going to be my first breath there. But so many people around us fret over this, and they shouldn't. Either get saved. If they're trusting in somebody else, if they're trusting in their baptism or their good works, they never got saved. If they're trusting in their sprinkling or they trusting in their church or whatever, they need to just get saved. If they feel like they can lose their salvation, they need to get saved because they're trusting in something plus Jesus. The most important thing for us is to get this settled. Hey, I know you've got people, I've got people that I know that are troubled with this, but maybe we can help them by getting it settled in our hearts, so that nobody else has to worry about it. And even if you can't help anybody else, those of us here tonight ought to have it settled, because it's throughout the scriptures. I'm kept by the power of God. If Satan can whip God, he can get me out of Jesus' hand. That's the only way it happened. And we know that that never happens. That's not going to happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to know that there's power in the blood, and that power is for us forever. And Lord, I thank you that you don't save us. Salvation's not a temporary thing, but an eternal thing. And Lord, we're just asking you to help us get it settled and help us to share it and help us to live like we don't have any concerns about eternity, because we know that you've settled it, because you are the one that keeps us saved by your power. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, just like Paul said. Lord, use the invitation for your good, for our good and your glory, for it's in that holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.